saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but so blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that tore my heart to feel. That very hour I first believed, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun.
I'll give it another try if you will.
Thank you. Come on. Go on. I'll catch up.
That so many times we need somebody to encourage us. Sometimes we need somebody to say, just press on. And when we press on, then we can and we shall make it to the top. But one of the things that we have to discover and what we have to realize is that we're not in this thing alone. We really are in this thing together. Because if you were just where you live, you know, let's take 100 people. 100 people around you right now. 7 of them are going through depression. 7 of them are even considering suicide. 7 people you know that's surrounding you, if you're normal, 7 people are dealing with abuse of alcohol or drugs. And then if you would, just a little bit further, if you went across 60 people that are living around you do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are a part of the solution. You are a part of the answer. You may be like that gentleman that somebody's trying to make it to the top and they just want to give up. But if you'll just give them a word of encouragement, they'll make it to the top. The last few weeks, we've been discovering something. We've been discovering teamwork. We've been going in. In fact, we're moving into week 6 now. We've gone through week 5. And in week 6, all of a sudden, we are reaching the pinnacle of where we're headed for. And we've learned a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I know the two groups that I'm a part of, we have learned a lot about each other. We have learned a lot about what God intends for us to do. And I know as for me, and for my, I can say as for me and my house, we want to continue on. In fact, we've talked with some of our groups, and I can tell you that after the 6 weeks is over with, on the following week, on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, you're welcome to come to our house because we're going to continue on. I know Denny will be there, and I know Gary will be there, and I know maybe others will be there, and I know many of the groups in which you're a part of, you're saying right now in yourself, we want to press on. And I want to encourage you, I want to encourage all the groups to press on. But if you press on, then you've got to come together and you got to be together as a team. Because inside of team, if you took the T from T, where team means trust. You know what? People need a place. People need people that they can go and actually speak words and say what stays, what's said here stays here. They want a place where they can go and where they can let their hair down and say, you know what? This really is what I'm feeling. And because we're going to press on, because you know, we're a part of a family and we need to hang together and we need to be strong. And together we can truly get more done. We really can. We can get more done together than we can by ourselves. But trust, how many of us? And you earn the trust. This is not something just happens. You have to earn trust by being consistent. Being consistent. The scripture says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Trust. Confidential. Being close. Build that team. Because part of that team, the E would stand for empathy. Empathy, what is that? Empathy, 1 Peter 3:8 says, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. But in order to show empathy, you got to slow down. You got to slow down and you got to reach that point where, hey, look, I know that your mind's running 10,000 to nothing. In fact, some of you are sitting right now, my roast is in the oven and it's burning. And some of you say, well, where are we going to go to lunch? Are we going to go to Mi Hacienda, are we going to go to Applebee's? Where are we going to go? And other, as soon as he goes, oh, well, you know what? I got to take the kids out this hour. Slow down. Slow down for a moment. Ask questions to people in your team. In other words, I'm going to ask you a question that you know about. How you doing? And what you're going to say? Boy, Heidi, how many of you just told the truth? No, don't answer that. You know what? We say, how you doing? And we say, naturally, we say, fine. But you know what we ought to ask? After they say fine, not when they say fine, but how are you really doing? You see, in team life, how are you really doing? And you see, things begin to change right there. Because you can also, at that point in time, you can actually show emotions. If somebody's laughing like at Tony's house, I mean, they had to call law on them, I think. They laugh so much in that group. when they show emotions. And then sometimes, you got to show a tear. Yeah. You show a tear. Hey, laugh. Bring the rafters down. That's good for the soul. But sometimes the pain's deep. Show emotions. Hey, look, B, the A stands for accommodation. Now, accommodation means be faithful with loving and easy to get along with. In your group, don't you want to get along with them? Hey, you really do. So how do you do that? You accommodate each other's needs. In other words, each one of us, the Scripture says in Romans 15:2 says, each one of us needs to look after the good of other people around us. And asking ourselves the question, y'all fill in the gaps, how can I? Yeah. Good. See all these answers? How can I? How can I help? How can I help? Wow. Isn't that neat? When we are accommodating, we also recognize each other's ideas. You know that God brings some ideas like you wouldn't believe. In fact, how many of y'all have been struggling over your mission project? Okay, we see that because we brought so many ideas to the... You know what our group's going to do? We finally reached that point. We're going to go to the nursing home and we're going to wash wheelchairs. And Ms. Idea, thank you, Ms. Donna, for that idea. And all of a sudden, that's what we struggle. I mean, man, we shot the moon. I don't know what your group's going to be doing. But by next Sunday, I want to know. Okay? Bring it down, community life. Accommodation means listen to other people's ideas. And we accommodate each other's personalities. Because we all are different. And you know what? We also accommodate each other's faults. Not everybody's perfect. I'm going to let you out a secret. Even Miss Gracie's not perfect. I know I busted your bubble. But I love Miss Gracie. If you want to ever have a laugh, you get around Miss Gracie. I love her. I tell you what, there's joy there. Hey, look. Accommodate each other's faults. And then, you know, a part of the team, we're going to be a mission. A mission. In other words, Philippians 2:2 says, be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. What we get together, hey, let not, the Scripture also says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, but let us encourage one another. According to Hebrews 10:25, let us come together and let us show this for one purpose. And we're to press on. And how do we press on? We press on as a team. We press on with a purpose. We press on. Oh man, how do you do that? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Love this verse, this scripture. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up with verse 7. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to that church at Philippi. And in the first 7 verses, he tells them, y'all better watch out for the dogs. That's not the Mississippi State Bulldogs, okay? He said, you watch out for the dogs that are teaching false things. But then he comes right down the line and he says, verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead." What motivates you to press on? Is it a gentleman when you just want to give up? What motivates? I can tell you what motivated Paul. And I can tell you what motivates me. What motivates me to press on? Number one, it's press on to gain the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's where he says, "Yet indeed I count all loss for the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Savior." Folks, when you want the Word, when you want it more than life yourself, you get involved in that. Listen, you got to press on. You got to dig deep. You got to say, "God, I want to know You. I really want to know." How do you gain that? How do you gain that type of knowledge that means more to you than life itself? I can share with you these are proven principles. One is you go to the source. If you want to know Jesus and you want to know Him so intently, you want to know what His breath smells like, go to the source. And that's the Word of God. You go into the source. And when you get there at the source, then you talk with the author who wrote it. Well, you say, "I thought John wrote it, and he's dead." Listen, who told John what to say? Who told Paul what to say? The Holy Spirit. So therefore, when you go to the source, then you talk to the author, and the author is God, and He reveals it to us through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And then when He tells you this is what it's all about, then do what He tells you. When you do what He tells you, all of a sudden, it's no longer theory. But I mean, it's the real deal. It's the facts. It's life-changing. And then move in with desire. Move in with desire means don't go for a visit. Don't jump into the Word just for a visit. Don't go to God just for a visit. Don't just listen to Him and do one time. Go to stay. In other words, tell Jesus, "Move over. I'm staying with You. And wherever You go, I'm going." Hey, that's how you get to know something so real. You move over. And then you also observe what's going on in other people's lives. It's called on-the-job training. If you really want to know Him, you really want to capture Him, then do some on-the-job training. Get close to Him. Now, when you do that, this is what happens. In verse 9 he says, "And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God." Press on for the righteousness of Christ. Is that what your hunger is for? Is that what you're thirsting for? When you go out this morning, are you going to go out saying, "I want more of this. I want more of this"? The righteousness of Christ, which comes by faith. It's not the righteousness which comes by the law. The law says you do this and do this and do this and do this and then you get... No, right by faith. The just shall live by faith. So when you walk out of this room this morning, you're not going to walk out just to keep a set of rules. You're going to walk out by faith and say, "I really believe that. You know what? It's real. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to press on." Press on. Now, when you do this, to gain that righteousness, what you have to do, you have to put some things off. This world system. Things that seem so important to you. You got to put some things down. You got to take some things away. And then you got to put on things that connect you with eternal value. You're not just going to go, listen, your plate's going to be full. Every one of you, if I pass the plate around, you'll say, nope, my plate's full. My plate's full. True? Does any of y'all got a bunch of spare time on your hand? I'll fill it up for you. But you'll say, my plate's full. So therefore, if we're going to understand His righteousness, we may have to kick something off, put something else back on there. And when we do that, it all comes together. It comes together. Position yourself on a team. Listen, folks, the Long Ranger, the Long Ranger had Tonto. He never was. Y'all know who the Long Ranger was? You know the Long These young whippersnappers ain't lived. You need to know the Long Ranger and Tonto. Hi-oh, Silver! Oi! Yeah, you know. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Think about it. Position yourself on a team, folks. You can do more that way. Pursue the righteousness which comes by faith and not by works. Pursue it. And verse 10 says, why do I press on? He says, verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Press on. What? What motivates you? What's going to get you up the hill? Listen, folks. You need to make the top of the hill. Don't give up. Press on. And what's going to get you up there? I can suggest to you, when Paul said that I may know Him. Know Him means experientially. To know Christ experientially creates a lifelong journey. To know means I'm aware of, I'm known, I'm resolved, I'm pursuing after. Well, let me give you some pictures of this. Some of you will know these guys' names, some of you won't. But I'm just going to give you some snapshots. Daniel got to know the Lord in a lion's den. Shadrach got to know the Lord in a fiery furnace. Peter got to know the Lord in a Roman prison. Saul got to know the Lord on a road to destruction. He was headed thus to Damascus. Do you want to press on to know Jesus experientially? Now, y'all know what I mean by experientially. Take the theory off. Roll up your shirt sleeves. Get to know Him. I know some of you just a few years ago said, oh, honey, I could just eat you up when y'all first got married. And a couple of years later, you say, oh, honey, I wish I'd ate you up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm happily married. I love my wife. Honey, I'm glad you with me, baby. Don't give up on me. Press on, Flora, press on. What I'm talking about is knowing somebody experientially. Man, you don't really know that person. Do you live with them a while? And it gets better every day. Okay. Know Him experientially. To know God experientially. To know Him. Get to know Him. To know Christ powerfully is going to alter your life. Where He says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection. The dunamis. I'm talking about the miraculous miracle, power, strength, the mighty working power of God. Do you want to know that power? And Paul said, oh God, I want to know that. Daniel wanted to know that. And he saw it in the rage of a lion's den. Shadrach wanted to know that when he walked around in raging fire. Peter wanted to know that when he saw the doors of prison flung open without the touch of man. Saul wanted to know that when he blinked and lost his sight because of the glory of God. He wanted to know that. Do you want to press on and know the power of the resurrection of Christ? Do you want to know that power that brought him out of the tomb? Do you want to know that power that closed the mouth of lions, took the smell out of fire, opened up prison doors, opened up the eyes of the blind? Resurrection power. This is not the weak-hearted. This is not for sissies. Do you want to know that? And then do you want to know Christ emotionally? To know Christ emotionally means to join in the fellowship of His suffering. Look right there. And it says in verse 10, and the fellowship of His suffering. Whoa, wait a minute. If you're of the Pepsi generation and you don't want to feel pain, pop another pill. Do you want to know the fellowship of His suffering? Do you want to be a part of an elite group of people who walked on this earth? Daniel became a part of the elite group because Daniel prayed in defiance to the government. Shadrach became a part of an elite group because Shadrach said, I'll not bend my knee to the idols of the government. Peter became a part of the elite group because he said, I am going to preach Jesus Christ crucified. You do with me what you may, but I'm going to preach Jesus. Paul became a part of an elite group because he said, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Folks, what I just told you will get you in trouble in our country. What I just told you to stand up against the government and pray in places, that'll get you in trouble. Stand up by not bowing down to the politically correct and calling the shots just as they are, that'll get you in trouble with the government. Listen, folks, if you tell people Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and the only way to be saved is by grace through faith, that'll get you in trouble. You too may become a part of an elite group who know fellowship of suffering. Do you want to know that? Do you want to press on for that? To know Christ sacrificially means to go the way of the cross. The Scripture says, He says, being conformed to His death. Being conformed. Being conformed means to be fashioned like. Daniel was led away under the banner of obedience to God. Shadrach was led away under the banner of obedience to God. Peter was led away under the banner of the cross. Saul of Tarsus was led away under the banner of blindness because of the calling of God was on him. When you want to know Him, Jesus was obedience even to the death of the cross. Do you want to be conformable even to death? What do I do? Verse 11. I press on to hold on to Christ. If by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. If by any means. Do you capture that? If by any means I am going to know Him in that fashion, to lay hold on Him. How do I do this? If by any means. What does that mean? Means I'm going to do whatever it takes. I am going to do whatever it takes to press on. I don't feel good. Press on. I don't have the education. Press on. I'm financially strapped. Press on. I want to study. Press on. My marriage is on the rocks. Press on. I'll do whatever it takes to press on. And that's what he's crying out right here. Prolong, ensue, follow, press on. That means determine to do whatever it takes to recognize the true value of the resurrection. That I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. What's the true value? You see, a lot of people start talking about, oh man, I just want that last place in heaven. Just give me the last row. Hey, listen folks, if all you want is on the last row of heaven and you just want to get in by the skin of your teeth, the probability is you're not going. You're not going. God doesn't want you on the back row, Mr. Walter. God wants you on the front row. You want to know the power of the resurrection. That's when you get into who He is. You want to experience what brought Christ out of the death? The power of the resurrection. Paul says, I'm going to press on that I may know the power. You would think this guy who wrote all these books in the New Testament, who started all these new churches, you would think this guy would say, man, I have arrived. I got it under control. Not so. What did he say? He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. In other words, when I determine I'm going to do whatever it takes, I'm going to recognize the value of the resurrection, and now I understand this lifelong goal. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Not that I've already attained everything I've done, but this thing I do, he says. But I press on. I press on with urgency. I press on. I press on. I'm not going to give up. That I may do what? The latter part of verse 12 says, that I may know, that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold on me. Eagerly, I will attain Christ, because Christ eagerly pursued me. So what shall I do? Press on. Verses 13 and 14 says, press on to the upward call of God. But now, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. What is the attitude of winners? What is it? It's hunger. Hunger keeps you in the hunt. Listen, folks, if you're not hungry, you're not going to be in the race. Hunger will keep you. Focus on the main thing. Paul said, this one thing I do. Listen, folks, if you don't focus in on the right, keep the main thing to keep the main thing, somebody else is going to get your attention. But I want you to know yesterday is gone. You can't go back. I want you to know tomorrow is not here. I want you to know all you've got is today. That's it. Press on. And how do I do that? Forgetting those things which are behind me. Listen, folks, some of you have royally messed up. Amen? And the rest of you should have said amen. Some of you have royally messed up. Forget it. Did you hear me? Forget it. gone. It's past. Yes, ask for forgiveness by all means. But forget it. And what do? Strive for the things in front of you. Reach out. Always be reaching out. Press toward the heavenly goal of God's call upon your life, he said. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Press on, folks. Daniel was hungry for the things of God, and he pressed on beyond the lion's den. Shadrach was hungry for the things of God, and he pressed on beyond the fiery furnace. Peter was hungry for the things of God, and he pressed on beyond the jail gates of a Roman prison. Saul was hungry for the things of God, and he pressed on beyond blindness. Press on, folks. Press on. This is God's calling upon your life. He's called you to press on. This past Friday, Mr. Earl was in the hospital. He had fallen. He's getting weak now. Why he was in the hospital? They ran all these kind of tests to see what was happening to him, and they found out everything was okay. And he told Shirley, he said, "Shirley, who's that man standing over there?" Shirley looked in the hospital room and said, "There's no man standing there." Doctor walked in a few minutes later, and he said, "Doctor, who's that man standing over there?" Doctor said, "I don't see a man standing over there." Doctor walks out, turned his wife. "Shirley, do you see that man?" And she, with a sly look on her face, says, "Sure, I see him now." She didn't see him. "You really see him?" And Earl said, "He told me I'm going to be okay. And that one that drowned is going to be okay." Where'd that come from? He was turned loose at the hospital. On the way out, they saw a helicopter light. Shirley rolled down the window and asked somebody, "Say, hey, what's going on with the helicopter?" And they said, "They just brought in a 4-year-old child that had drowned. They brought him back. He's going to be okay." Press on, folks. Press on. It's going to be okay. Let's pray. Father, we've got to press on. Lord, some of us this morning need to cut loose some stuff that we're carrying around on our back. Lord, we need to cut that stuff loose. We need to press on. Father, the world has tried to so fill up life with stuff that we don't know you. Not the way we want to. God, we can start right now. So right now, God, I'm asking for this body right here to press on. Press on. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn. They're going to throw it up on the wall there, and we're going to just sing about a faith in Christ. And what I want you to do, I want you to listen to a story that's being told. There's a story in these words that somebody's telling you about how to press on. See, some need to press on by giving their life to Christ this morning. Some need to press on by going to the altar and leaving some trash there and then forget it. Some need to press on by making some fresh new commitments. Some need to press on by saying, "I want to know Him experientially. I want to be conformable to the cross. I want to know the power of the resurrection." You want it. It's available. available. It's available. Let's stand and sing, guys. Press on. Press on.
Press on.
Press on. Press on. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.